All right, Earl, do you want to do like an intro?
Sure.
We're here with...
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Ready to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Welcome to the Sports Parent Podcast, where we talk about sports and parenting and the intersection between sports and parenting, hosted by best-selling author Jeff Pearlman.
And Catherine Pearlman, also known as the Family Coach.
Hopefully future best-selling author.
Yeah, hopefully future best-selling author. So this is the third episode of our revitalized Sports Parent Podcast, and we're kind of changed format a little. We have four new segments. General sports parenting topic, a what's on your mind segment, a real-life parenting segment, and the tried but true, beloved by many, one-minute debate.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get started. So I wanted to talk about, for our general sports parenting topic, having trouble talking, bad for a podcast, about the trend where once you pretty much get to high school, all vacations are dictated by the coaches. So you can't go away for a summer vacation without checking with what the coach's schedule is, or holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas vacation. Like, the coaches will tell you where you have to be and when. And if you're not there, you're off the team pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it sucks. I think we're doing something really bad here. I really do. I was talking to a parent the other day, and this is a wonderful parent. It's not a criticism of the parent at all, but our daughter and all the eighth graders around here had their dance, their year-end dance last week, and it was a big deal. And this mother told me that her son wasn't allowed to go because the coach of the travel baseball team they had a tournament that weekend and everyone had to come to practice. And I just think, like, life is what you're doing while you're busy making plans, and things go by really fast. And if you're always if your kids are hyper focused on sports all the time and they're never allowed to do anything beyond sports, you're really hurting in the well-rounded area. And I have to say, if I were a coach of a team, a serious travel sports team, whatever that means at age 13, I would want my kids to be well-rounded. And I would actually say to the parents, I'd say, you know what? If your kids have the eighth grade dance this weekend or Friday night, whatever, make sure they go. I want them to go. I want them to miss practice.
Yeah, but I bet kids wouldn't sign up for your team because you probably wouldn't be a super competitive winning coach.
You can be both.
You think so?
Of course you can. I'm not saying you do this for everything, but there are big moments in people's lives. You know, it's like these aren't major league. There used to be a thing in Major League Baseball, and they don't do it nearly as much anymore, where a ball player was not allowed to miss a game for the birth of his child. It wasn't allowed. You could not leave. In the 70s and 80s, a baseball player would not leave the team. Nowadays, they allow it. But I think of the stupidity of that sort of way of thinking. Like, there is life beyond sports. And if you just limit these kids to this at all times, and summer. Summer is supposed to be such a great time, an innocent time. And I think these kids love baseball, so it's great they play. Let them go freaking swimming. Let them have their time hanging out with their friends. Let them play Xbox. You're only a kid once. It just goes so fast.
My feeling about it, though, is I agree with everything you said, but I also think the best times that we've had as a family, like truly the best times, are when we're off on vacation and it's just the four of us.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like, you know, long-term trips or even just a week, but I feel like that is what has kept us together as a family and made our kids close to each other, and all our silly, funny jokes that we have as a family. Like, it's all happened during spring break, you know, or summer vacation. And I think to think that that's over for our kids when they get to high school, and actually it's over when the first kid goes to high school.
Yeah.
Because the second kid and third kid and fourth kid, not that we have four, but others do. Well, now they can't go away either because one parent has to be home to take the kid to, you know, all the practices and whatever.
Do you ever think that we come off as too, considering we're doing a sports parent podcast, that we come off as too anti-sports?
100% we do. Yeah, but maybe we're not the norm, although...
Maybe we shouldn't be doing this podcast.
I think there are a lot of people who feel this way. I do. I mean...
Do you, though?
Yeah, I do.
Where are they?
I think lots of people. I think there are people whose families, everything revolves around sports, and they're all good with that, and that's great. They should do that. But I don't think that people whose kids also want to spend time with their family or have family meals sometimes or vacations should be penalized or kicked off the team because they, you know, need to go to a grandparent's 90th birthday party or something.
I know the problem is if you have this rule for these kids on your team, like you basically, so you're either playing travel ball or you're not. And if if the coach, I mean, look, if the coach says early on, this is the number one priority in your life besides school, and you have to attend these practices, you'll get one miss, but that's it. I don't care what it is. It's not on the, to me, I will say this, it's not on the coach at that point. He set up the rules. You know what the rules are. You agree or you don't agree.
I agree.
So it's up to you as a parent. What do you want for your kid, you know, and what are the priorities?
Well, I don't think I could tell my kid you can't play high school sports because the coach isn't flexible about vacation. I would say we're going to have to miss vacation. It just would be really sad for me.
Yeah, it'd be a bummer. I still think a lot of this comes down to, even though they don't like
it. It will be a bummer. Our kid's going to be in high school next year, and that's the end of our vacation.
I got something to say that's really important.
Sorry, go on.
I think a lot of this comes down to, even though it's unspoken, that parents really want their kids to be the next Mike Trout or Bryce Harper, and they see this as a hope. And the sad thing about it, I know you're going to disagree to a certain degree, but to me, the sad thing about it is they would get much more of a rush. Actually, I know I'm right about this. They would get much more of a rush seeing their kid become Mike Trout than seeing their kid become Bill Gates. Forget the money.
I don't know about that. I don't think that's fair.
I think a lot of parents are like that. Athletic fame and athletic notoriety, and my kid just hit.
I think lots of parents are just as happy to tell that their kids are going to some elite college,
really?
Or that they're.
How often do you hear kids? Do you hear parents bragging about their kids' grades?
The way they brag about sports.
Not the way they brag about sports.
I disagree.
Well, then we're going to fight about this.
Well, maybe we'll make that the 1 minute debate next week.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. So, what's on your mind?
I had something really interesting happen the other day. So whenever I walk Emmett up to school, whenever I pick him up from school, excuse me, there are kids who get out early, and there are kids at his elementary school, who are autistic, who special need kids, and they get out early. And I always see this one teacher. I don't know if she's a teacher or teacher aide. She's a young woman. Her name is Lindsay, and she's always running with the kids, joking with the kids. And I always think to myself, I have to say something to her. I have to say something to her because she's so great with these kids and so full of joy in life. And the other day I was in a supermarket and she was working in the supermarket. And I had to find snap peas for you. I got you 2 bags, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, no charge. And I was like, do you know where the snap peas are? And she's like, And I was like, wait a second. And I said, do you work at the school? And she goes, yeah, I do. I said, I just want to say you're amazing. You're amazing. She is amazing. You're so good with those kids. And my son goes there. And then we started talking about it. And I think her statistics were slightly off. But she was talking about the impact that she sees autistic kids having on families and how it just beats down the parents. And you see it. She can see it. The sort of heartbreak, the sense of just profound sadness. And I think the sense of profound sadness that your kids have a ceiling, you know, like, cause you want your kids to dream for the stars and do whatever they can. And this one, she was just talking about it and it really got me down. And on one hand, it makes you think, thank God my kids are healthy, but you really shouldn't be happy for your kids' health at the expense of other kids', you know, lack of health and problems.
Also, I mean, I think it's very nuanced. I think parents whose kids have special needs love and adore their kids as much as we love and adore our kids. Mm-hmm. They have hopes and dreams for their kids just like we have for ours. And I actually think it hurts people who have special needs kids when they hear someone saying, oh, I don't care if it's a boy or a girl. I just hope they're healthy. You know, and I think there's this unsaid thing that, you know, God forbid they have a special need or something
yes.
like that. Yes, but I think that people whose kids have a special need, whatever that is, don't really like that way of speaking.
We had this discussion before. I don't think it's wrong to say, someone says, so what do you want, a boy or a girl? And I say, I just want a healthy child. I don't see how, what am I supposed to say? I want an unhealthy child?
No, I just think to have a broader awareness. But anyway, going back to your earlier point, I think when I see those kids coming out of school and going on the bus, you know, the special bus or being picked up by their parents and you can see that many of them are not the kind of high functioning autism or
right.
the geniuses who are making amazing art or playing like Mozart at a young age. They're just kids that are really struggling and will not be able to live independently as adult maybe and all these things. And I think, you know, what is the day to day life for these parents, and that never changes. I mean, the kids grow up, but they still have the same, they don't necessarily develop their abilities past a certain level. And so I always think that it's a lot to be a parent of some of these kids, and that we should reach out to them, support them, invite them to parties. I think a lot of times they're very isolated because their kids are so different. And I think when they're different at 6 and 7, it's not as big of a deal. But when they're different at 13 or 15, a lot of times these parents are just kind of shunned, or those kids aren't invited places. And I think as a society, we have to do a better job, which leads me to my last point about this, is that Emmett was in an integrated classroom. Remember when he was in like second grade, and half the kids had special needs and half the kids didn't. And what a wonderful experience that was for him to be part of
that.
A lot
of parents didn't want their kids in that kind of class.
Oh, a lot of parents. As soon as they didn't tell you that your kid was in that class until the class started. So like the day before school started, you would find out. And the reason they did that is because a lot of parents would say, oh, no, my kid can't be in that class.
Right.
But it was incredibly beneficial for him as well as the other kids. So it just kind of made me think about that.
But I just want to say I met a guy a few weeks ago. I had lunch with another writer, and he just wanted to talk career stuff. And he said to me, oh, do you have kids? And I was like, yeah, I have a 13-year-old daughter. And he's like, oh, I have a 13-year-old daughter, too. And I was going to start talking to him about whatever daughters go through. And he told me his daughter was severely autistic. And I was thinking about what you just said about including parents with kids who have, with autistic kids in sort of activities. Because it's almost like, remember when we were first married, and we would have friends who always gave us, who always commended us single friends, because we weren't the couple that like wouldn't hang out with single friends. You know how sometimes single friends feel shunned? And I do think there's a kind of a similarity there, where you have kids, and maybe at the beginning when everyone's a baby, it's all, you can all do your thing in the play gym or the park or whatever. But as the kids get older, I could see parents with autistic children or kids with severe disabilities being ostracized. And that seems like something definitely to avoid. So bully for you.
Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. So, what's on my mind? Is that what you want to know?
I'm sorry. What is on your mind?
I'll tell you. Well, so I had a little bit of a crazy week last week, and I think we talked about dress code previously, but, I had written a kind of tongue in cheek letter to the principal about inviting her to take our daughter
to Casey's
shopping.
School.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To take our daughter shopping, 'cause the dress code, is impossible to adhere to if you have a child with long arms and long legs. And also I was talking about a little bit of the inappropriateness of requiring girls to wear something covering their shoulders wherever, so that the boys don't get distracted and so on and so forth. Anyway, I put it up on the Today Show Parents website, and
oh, just brag about it. You went viral. You blew up.
Okay, I'm just saying, I put it up.
No, but I'm saying, I'm being a PR guy here.
I didn't really think about it. And then little by little by little by little, it started creeping up and getting shared. And I was happy about it because I got a lot of nice letters from parents who had tall girls, or from girls themselves, or from women who had been tall and felt like that they really related to what I had to say. However, a large portion of the population had some very choice words for me about my parenting and my choices to go against the rules. So a lot of people were like, rules are rules. You follow them. That's it. You're teaching your daughter to be special. Snowflake, brat. All
snowflake is a word, by the way, that drives me insane.
It makes my skin crawl. Yeah. I don't even want to go into that. So it really kind of made me think that about parenting in public, about when your parenting has suddenly, for whatever reason, come into the public light, whether it's like a video of someone catching you doing something or whatever. And I feel pretty confident in my parenting abilities. I'm not a perfect parent. I make loads of mistakes, but I think in general, I don't have to be ashamed of my choices. But there is something to people publicly shaming you for different choices or things that you do that I think is pretty tough. And it made me think of something that I have in my book about Ignore It, about how hard it is to discipline your kids in public when there are people watching, because everybody's judging you. Like, we'd like to think they're not, but everybody is judging every other parent. Oh, I would never let my kid pick up a pacifier off the floor and put it in his mouth, or I would only let my kid have organic, or I would only make my own baby food, or I only breastfed. And there just seems like there's a lot of judging. So parenting in public is stressful and hard.
See, I thought you were going a different route here, which is So I got my first hate letter, my first real hate letter. Well, I got a bunch in college, but when I was an intern at the Nashville, Tennessee in 1995, and I got a letter, and it was it said, F you, Yankee, Jew boy, blank, you know, sort of gay slur. And in the years, I've gotten, I would say, thousands and thousands of hate mail, hate comments. And it's kind of funny to watch you get them. Funny, but I don't enjoy it. But I feel like it sucks, you know, like these things suck. And they kind of like, it takes a long time to get like I've read some of the ones you got. You got some really nasty ones that you read to me and really nasty ones. And it's funny how in the modern age, social media has given people a lot of courage mm-hmm. when it comes to insulting because you don't have to put your name on it or anything.
Except so many of these were actually linked to their Facebook profiles. Like right. One woman was in school to be a social worker. Mm. And my immediate thought was, you have a lot of work to do.
Good luck with that career.
You're not ready.
Right. You took the high road, I'd say. You did not fire back or thing, but I think it bothered you a little bit.
Well, of course it bothers you because, you know, like I said, like even though I'm confident in my choices, it never feels good for people to tell you, you know, you're an idiot and a horrible parent and who pays you to do this for a living and you don't know anything about anything. I mean, it kind of makes me think of just, you know, a constant bully eventually will wear somebody down, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you have thousands of bullies screaming and yelling at you, it definitely can take a toll.
The thing that's weird is like, so this past week, these past 2 weeks for Bleacher Report, I had two of my most read stories, one about Bryce DeJean Jones, one about Tupac. The reviews were across the board great. The comments were great, right? I don't think I've ever had two stories back to back. And I got a tweet the other day about the Tupac story from some guy. I have no idea who he is. And it was like typical Perlman story, not well written and really boring. And that's the one that gets under your skin, you know, like a million positive things.
Of course. It's like if you've ever gone for a review or you get a report card or, you know, at work and they list like 20 amazing things right. that you're doing. One thing you've got to work on is right. this one little thing. I just think that, you know, parenting, we all have, there's more than one way. Mm-hmm. And the thing that really struck me, that always strikes me, is that I know people do this. I know people fire off angry emails or tweets or whatever without really thinking about it. I know sometimes people do it anonymously. It still kind of shocks me that the things that people get violent about, that they get so fed up and angry. Like, I mean, I always joke, you say, oh, I don't think the Mets are going to win this year. And like right. all of a sudden people are tweeting you like the most vile
things. Well, like people love to remind you if you get a sports prediction wrong. Like, let's say you say Mets aren't going to be good this year and the Mets win the World Series. You always have some guy who's like, hey, jackass, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, it was just a sports prediction. You know, like, I do not have a crystal ball. Who cares? Or any of this. But the thing, the problem with this and the problem with social media. So someone reads your letter and, I totally disagree with this. And they fire off something. And then they move on and get their Jell-O and their soup and they move on with life. But meanwhile, it's sitting there on your laptop and it just sits there. Yeah. So the emotion probably generally does not match what they were feeling. It was a very quick, fleeting thing. They read it. They fired it off. They probably read something else. They fired it off. But when it hits you and it sits there, it has much more of an impact.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I agree.
Life's a crapper.
Yeah. Lesson there, don't go viral.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the lesson is don't go viral. I'm sorry. You know, I'm a little off my game today because we're taking
Seriously.
A new form, but that's okay. We have a new sponsor this week. The Sports Parent Podcast is brought to you in part by Bumpers. Bumpers is an iPhone app that I use every day to tell quick stories to listeners. Have you ever heard me do a Bumpers?
I have.
I do it literally every single day.
What's your channel on Bumpers?
My channel is Jeff Perlman.
All right, cool.
Record your voice on the app. Easily edit and remove parts to add sound effects, publish, and share. If you've been wanting to make a podcast or just get your voice out there, give it a download at bumpers.fm. And I have to say, I'm being sincere about this, I freaking love Bumpers. I'm addicted to Bumpers. I use Bumpers every day. I have my own station. I've probably done about 300 of them by now. It's a whole new avenue for me. And people think I'm like revolutionary. And I'm like, I just decided to do this.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
You do?
Yep.
Thanks.
Although I'm not responsible for anything you say on a Bumpers.
I know. What do we got?
Well, I think you might want to talk about your experience going to Emma's classroom today.
I do want to talk about that. So I've been... when Casey, our daughter, was in fifth grade, I spoke to her class. I was in New York about being a journalist. And this year I missed career day. They had career day at the elementary school.
I just want to say they never invite the social worker in.
That's because nobody
wants
to.
Never mind saving people and helping vulnerable populations and social justice and equality.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm going to give a shout out to a kid in Emmett's class named Cash, who, when I was speaking, said, "Your job is gangsta." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Yes, it is." So I went to speak to his class. There's no lesson here. I just thought it was funny. And there were a bunch of fifth graders. And they were really into it, because I tell them about how you get to go to baseball games and you get free ice cream and the ice cream sundaes at Dodger Stadium, and you're meeting players and, you know, you're traveling around.
The sad thing is, you're not just telling them how great the ice cream is because you think kids will like it. You actually love that there was free ice cream.
Oh, yeah. I remember one time I had four ice cream sundaes during a 9-inning game.
And then you felt really sick.
Well, you know, that happens. Yeah. So I talked to the class, and it was lovely and great. I just thought this was funny. So I gave every kid one of my press passes. Which I was a little sad to let go of, but I figured it'd mean more to them than me. And I also gave out books. I did raffles for books, right? And I gave out copies of Gunslinger, my far biography, and a couple of copies of The Bad Guys One I had sitting around my Mets book. And then I was thinking, as I was giving them out, these books are like kind of
not appropriate for kids.
In fact, The Bad Guys One, the subtitle always gets me, but something about bimbo chasing and blah 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 booze. And I gave it to like this very innocent 10-year-old girl in Emmett's class, you know. And I was really, afterwards I was thinking, oh my god, I bet I'll get some letters. And I ended up getting two comments. The first was from the girl who got The Bad Guys One from her dad, and he sent me an email, and he was like, "Hey man, just want to thank you. My daughter got the book. She's so thrilled. She wants to be a journalist." And it was like such a highlight for her.
That's sweet.
And then you were with me, actually, when we saw these parents at Emmett School. And they were talking about getting Gunslinger. And they were like, "Yeah, Nick, we're starting to look at it. It's got a few curses in there."
And the boy would be like, "Dad, hey, look at page 17. Look at this curse."
Yeah. And
well, whatever gets him to read.
So was that inappropriate for me, or was that okay?
I guess I probably would have given a caveat saying, you know, give it to your parents and they can decide.
Wouldn't that make them read it even more than
when you're ready to read it? Yeah. Holy
cow, it says penis on page 83.
Yeah. I remember when we were kids, I mean, we didn't have the internet. So if you wanted to read anything risque, you had to go to the library and check out Judy Blume's Forever and like read it in the back of the stacks. And then there was some book called Wifey that on like page 114, they talked about something. That's all I remember.
I will say one thing, like, I really wanted, this is going to sound dumb, but as you know, Em and I are close, as are you. I wanted him to, I kind of wanted to do it for him, but I also wanted to do it for me. Like, I wanted him to have a proud moment. I wanted to give him a proud moment. I wanted to see him. And he was really stoked that I came in, you know, like, he was so excited
when
it came in.
He's very proud of you, and he thinks you have a very cool career. And, you know, who doesn't like when their parent comes to the classroom to share about their job? I mean, that's, like, kind of fun for them.
Yeah. So anyway, it was cool.
Again. Anyone wants to invite the social worker?
Hello.
I'm happy to talk to the class.
Social worker, please.
Yeah.
Earl, what do you got?
Okay, well, for my real life parenting, I would like to talk about the nightmare for the working parent that is the end of the school year. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if you feel the same way as me, but I just find the end of the year with parties, the shows, concerts, graduation, the special theme days and t-shirts, and we're purple and you got to get gifts.
You don't like purple?
No.
Yeah.
And half days and special events and concerts. I said that one. I just find it exhausting. And to have a job, it's like the school districts, they don't really think, you know, maybe we should pack this in on one day, or maybe we shouldn't ask the parents to come every day for 3 weeks while we wind down school.
Yeah.
And once I'm doing the things with the kids, I really enjoy it. I love being in the classroom with them. But, man, it's hard to get any work done.
To me, the half days are crippling. I would rather they have a full day off and somewhere down the line have a full day of school than any half days to me are a joke. You drop them off for 2.5 hours or whatever it is, and then you have to come back and get them. I agree with you. I mean, it's not their concern. The parents aren't really their concern. But
well, the working parents.
Do you get – this is where I think you and I are different. I'm very emotional this time of year. Like, I walk Emmett up to school, or I drive Casey to school – and I get sad because one's going into middle school, one's going into high school. You told me, you promised me when they were little, no, it's going to take a long time, and it really
hasn't. It has taken a long time.
I don't know. It just breaks my heart. Doesn't make you sad? You're just like, I'm ready for this to be over right now?
I have to say, I'm never that sad when they finish a stage, because I always think the new stage offers something new and exciting. So like you definitely lose something with the passing of each stage, but then you also gain something new. So I generally don't mind, but I will say as I get older, I'm weepier at the most ridiculous little things.
Will you cry at Emmett's graduation?
Yes, I will.
Will you cry at Casey's graduation?
No, I won't.
Tell me why.
Why not?
Why?
Well, because there is no graduation for eighth grade.
Which is so weird.
Yeah, it's a little bit inexplicable.
Oh, well, what can you do? You want to do our 1 minute debate?
Yeah.
Okay, today we're doing a good one. I asked Catherine, first I said, name your favorite this, name your favorite that. She couldn't come up with anything. Then I said, name your favorite actor or actress. And she said, the highly overrated Meryl Streep, according to Donald Trump. And so today's battle is Meryl Streep versus Jim.
You can't even say what the straight
versus
face.
Jim Carrey. It's like me taking Laura Bush over Michelle.
And
Bottle.
Why Jim Carrey? What's your favorite movie?
I'm being sincere. You know I'm not lying when I say this. The Cable Guy.
Yeah. Okay.
I want you to go first.
No.
Yeah,
really?
You have to go first. Your turn.
Okay.
I just made that. Are you ready?
Sure.
Set. Jumanji, go.
Okay. All I'm gonna say is this: Silkwood, Kramer versus Kramer, Julie and Julia, Out of Africa, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Devil Wears Prada, Manchurian Candidate, Postcards from the Edge, Sophie's Choice. She was nominated for like the most Golden Globes. She won a million Oscars. She is an icon, a legend. She's been so many different characters. She's always very believable. She's my favorite. And there's no way Jim Carrey can even come close.
Wow. First of all, that was pretty good. Second of all, I probably agree, but I'm still going to bring the...
Okay, good luck.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. There is no better movie that has ever been made than The Cable Guy. And here's the thing about Jim Carrey. Yeah, Meryl Streep has won the awards and blah, blah, blah. A lot of them are undeserved. But yeah, she has won a lot of awards. Give me a line from her career that is definitive. I'm actually letting... Give me a line. No, stop cheating. Name a line. Jim Carrey, right? The Cable Guy alone. Medieval times. You know, we didn't have... There were no forks in medieval time. Therefore, there's no... But you have Pepsi... Dude, give me a break. You know, like, there's a million lines from that movie alone. That was so great. Oh, I already went 30 seconds.
Okay,
I just got
so
killed.
You're basically saying the movie was great. Just because he said
he was amazing in The
actor.
Cable Guy. He was amazing in The Cable Guy. All I'm saying is, all right, you win. I'm actually, for the first time ever, I'm going to concede, but...
It's not even close.
I just want to say Cable Guy is killer.
All righty. Well...
I vote for you.
You can let us know who you think won this debate. But even Jeff Perlman is voting for me. Mm. Tweet us at The Family Coach or at Jeff Perlman. Use the hashtag TheSportsParent so we can see your comments. Find us on Facebook at Jeff Perlman. And you can find Catherine at The Family Coach. We will put links and information about the topics we discuss on the show, on our website, The Sports Parent Podcast. We're a little behind, but...
Soon to be revamped.
Yeah, Jeff's going to catch us up. Mm-hmm. Jeff's website is jeffperlman.com, and you can check out his amazing blog and take a look at his quaz, which is Jeff's Q&A series. Who's the quaz this week, Jeff?
Coming up or last week?
Either.
Last week was a literary agent who we know named Kim Lionetti. First time I ever had a literary agent. Next week is going to be a male porn photographer, I think.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Check out Catherine's website at at thefamilycoach.com. I love the non-sequitur of that one. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to The Sports Parent on iTunes so you don't miss an episode. And if you liked our show, please go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and a review if you can. Here's how to do it. Search iTunes for The Sports Parent. Click on the podcast, not the individual episode. When it comes up, you should see details next to the logo. Next to the details, it should say reviews and ratings. Check that heading. Then add a comment or just give us a 5-star rating because we're nice people. Also, if you have topics you would like us to discuss on the show, send us an email to catherine@thefamilycoach.com. Audio production today was from Andrew Perella. Music by MC White Owl and Static Selecta. And until next week's episode of The Sports Parent, win or lose, take your kids for ice cream after El Juego.